This week on the BOAG World Web Design Podcast, learning from mobile navigation and embracing open source. Hello and welcome to BOAGworld.com, the podcast for all those involved in designing, developing and running websites on a daily basis. My name's Paul BOAG and joining me today, as always, is Marcus Lillington.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Very well. Good. Well, no, I'm not. I like to...
You're feeling a bit sickly.
I've had man flu and I've been sharing this on Twitter, all the different stages of my pain and misery. But I'm better now.
No one cares.
No, they really didn't. and I got no sympathy at all.
Especially not from home.
Absolutely. I'm a little bit sad. Well, am I sad? I'm both sad and happy. So our last one in the barn. Last podcast being recorded in the barn.
Oh, I've already left this place.
I know. Actually, I have. I don't know why I said I was sad. It's a dump now. It's like... kind of everything's half taken down and it's all just a bit of a mess and our new spangly office is looking really good. And
it is. I was there yesterday. I popped in.
I popped in
on my way home.
Right.
This is good. See, I can drive to our new office on my way home from this office. That means it's nearer.
That does. Nearer for you, further for me. But there we go. That's life. No, I think what most distresses me about leaving the barn is that in theory I now need to replace the header graphic on BOAG World.
Yes.
But I can't be bothered.
That's a very good point.
It's going to stay there.
Mm. Can we just have a brown block?
Yeah, something useful like that.
A flat colour.
Yeah, that's the in thing, isn't it? I should just make it all flat.
Yep. It's quite flat anyway, isn't it?
It's pixel art, so yes.
No, I mean the whole site.
No, it's got droppy, shadowy bits, and yeah, it's not flat design. It's kind of, it's all right. It does the job. Keeps me out of trouble.
Yeah, there is a little bit of shape, but it's not... Yeah, oh no, there is.
No, it's very old-fashioned now,
yeah.
According to the latest trend.
But I have to...
But it's representative of me, old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned.
And not in line with the latest trend.
Exactly.
So it works well. You were going to say something.
I have to announce...
Oh, dear.
Two new sites that we've... Headscape has built... one I should have announced last week, but I was still in kind of like, mustn't talk about it mode.
Since when have we announced sites?
Because...
You're only doing this because the client wants you to mention it.
Well,
one of them does,
and one of them probably doesn't. Maybe Laura does listen to this, I don't know, but I don't think she does. So I'm evening it out and announcing two.
Right.
Okay,
and you're also, kind of grouping them together.
One won't mean anything to people in the UK, and the other one won't mean anything to people in America, so I'm kind of like doing a US and UK. UK thing.
So what about people
hit.
In Australia? We have a lot they of people won't... that listen in Australia, by the way.
Really? Well, I don't know.
Well, by a lot of people, obviously, I mean two.
Yeah, two.
Out of the 10.
Which, you know, that's quite a big percentage, isn't
we are
it?
At 10 now, aren't we?
Yeah, it might even be 11.
Has it gone up?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I made that up.
Well, the whole thing's made
up. Do you know
up.
What, actually?
We don't really have 10 listeners. I mean, let's not be silly.
I've got another tangent. I've had lots of jokes sent to me this week. Thank you, people. I will name you all later.
Good.
I won't do all the jokes.
So go on, get through this party political broadcast or public announcement.
I'm just going to say about the Australian one. I'll do the UK one first because there is
this is going to really upset the US client.
Why?
Because I really like the UK one we've done.
I really like them both. Very much so.
Well, yes. But I think it's the subject matter
exactly.
of the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair enough. If you're doing a stately home or a bland office building website, then the stately home one's going to look nicer.
Yes. So the two clients are, in America, it is...
a law firm called Dickstein Shapiro, dicksteinshapiro.com.
You do... the great thing about Dickstein Shapiro,
mm-hmm.
when you go there, is you feel like you're in an episode of Ally McBeal. Without Ally McBeal.
Yeah.
Did we meet any female attorneys?
I have never met an attorney.
Have you not? No. You've never been there to do stakeholder interviews?
I didn't do the first sessions. I got involved afterwards.
I really liked the attorneys.
Yeah.
Because there was a kind of mixture. They all felt like...
Is that by implication you don't like the marketing people?
No!
He just said that.
No, I didn't say that. Cindy, I love you deeply. You know that. No, they were just fascinating characters. It all felt like stereotypes. Every single one of them was some form of kind of American lawyer stereotype. Right. There was the kind of young, go-getting type, with the chiseled jaw and the smart suit. And then there was the kind of weary, beaten down, been in this too long, bloodshot eyes type. And then there was the kind of obese, been to too many rich meals with fancy clients
lunchtime
type.
Yeah.
So there was all the kind of different stereotypes. It was fascinating. And of course, then, you know, you asked a question in the stakeholder meeting and they'll say, so what do you mean by this word? And they would cross-examine you. It was quite fun to do.
Yes.
It's scary working for a law firm. Because you think one false step, that's it. We're going to be sued out of existence.
We've been saying that ever since we started working for them. It's like an in-joke here.
We're
going to be out of business next week when they decide to crush us like an ant. Yes.
I mean, it doesn't matter. It wouldn't matter. To be honest, it wouldn't matter whether we'd done a perfect job. If they decided to sue us, we'd be out of business, wouldn't we? Let's face it.
But anyway, the site is worth a visit. There's lots of responsive loveliness going on with quite... As Dan will confess, it's quite complicated in places.
Yes.
But yeah, it's...
Lee got carried away when he was designing it, and poor old Dan had to then build it.
Yes.
Is essentially what happened.
That's exactly what happened. But what I like about it is it's very clear to the point. It does bam, 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 and that's the kind of things that we felt after lots of research with the client about what their users want, and I think it's quite clear.
Actually, these two sites really kind of demonstrate how much a client does and indeed should influence the website, because they couldn't be a lot different, could they, really?
No.
You know, on one hand, so you've got Dick Steen, which has got, you know, this really kind of corporate kind of power website. Like,
it's a little bit fun in places as well,
though. Yeah, it is. They've got a bit, but it's certainly a corporate thing. You can trust us. We're a safe pair of hands.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of it is Chelsea Pensioners.
Yes.
Is the other side.
Well, it's the Royal Hospital Chelsea.
Yes.
Their website. And the URL is chelsea-pensioners.co.uk. org.uk works as well, but it's a bit of a weird... I won't go into the boringness of it, but...
No, because I'm sure that is boring.
But anyway, chelsea-pensioners.co.uk, and this is why I think will mean nothing to the American audience. Basically, the Chelsea Pensioners are really famous.
They're like
the UK.
An institution, aren't they?
Whenever the Queen does something big, they're always there, lined up in their red coats.
But essentially, it's an old people's home.
Yeah, for soldiers. For ex-soldiers.
But they've got all these cool uniforms that they wear, and it's this weird... Because I wasn't involved with this project, so I was actually looking around the site and I was watching the video and stuff, and it's this weird hybrid between an old people's home, which is in a massive stately home.
It couldn't be more gorgeous. Yeah, I mean, it's designed by Sir Christopher Wren.
Yeah.
It's right by the Thames. It's where they have the Chelsea Flower Show.
Exactly. You know. So it's kind of an old people's home, but it's kind of still like military barracks,
kind of.
It's got that kind of feel to it. But and it's also like little self-contained flat type thing.
Yep.
And it's almost like a boarding school as well. It's got that kind of vibe to it as well.
Yeah. I mean,
where they have their meals is like the big hall in Hogwarts, isn't it? Essentially.
I've eaten in there. And
have you really?
That is exactly what it's like.
Yeah.
It's exactly like that. It is Hogwarts. You expect, what's his name? Dumbledore to come out of the plinth? No, it's not plinth, is it?
On the
balcony
stage.
At the end.
Yeah.
Couldn't find the right words there. But yeah, it's what's really wonderful about the place. The first thing we did when we started working for them was have a tour with one of the pensioners.
Oh, I'd have loved that.
And basically, that idea of that kind of boarding school, they are all like little kids.
Yeah, I bet they are. But, you can, even though it's a really serious video that they have on the site, and it all looks very proper and very military, you know that every night they're pranking one another and, you know, acting like children the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth going, there's a, oh, I'll find the page, hang on a minute. There's a page called How You Can Help, which is basically the donation call to action. Because people in the UK think that the army or the government owns it and runs it.
But no, they don't.
There is, government does provide some funding, but they need basically about £2 million a year to keep the place going.
Because they don't charge that much. I mean, they've got their rates on, what was it, £175 a week?
No. Basically, if you give up your pension, that's it.
I know, which is
remarkable. There's no charge.
No, well, there's different ways of doing it, isn't it? Either you give up your pension, your military pension, or if you don't do that, you pay 100. I've read the site, which is probably more than you have. But the point is,
I've done lots of work on this site.
For where it is and what they get, that, you know, it's worth a lot more than that. I couldn't believe the price.
It's an amazing place. But obviously, you know, if you read, I was going to say, go and have a look at anything. Go and look at on the How You Can Help page and look at the video. Called Alan's Story, which it's a sad story, but you realise the situation that these guys have gone into end up there, and then they end up surrounded by kind of effectively old comrades.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful, wonderful place.
Oh, absolutely.
And a great project to work on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm quite envious of you because I didn't get to work on this, you know, be involved with this project. And of course, it's a designer's dream because the beautiful imagery, you know, all these guys in there, they have these red tunics and black kind of military outfits that they wear. And, you know, and then this amazing building and the royalty are always visiting it. And it just looks stunning as a site. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the old National Trust site we did back in the day.
Yeah.
Essentially, Ed's gone, just put a frigging big image on there, isn't he? That's what he's
pretty
done.
Much, yeah.
Yeah, get out of the way, show a massive big image, and that does the job.
But it's all manageable via Drupal as well, which is a nice thing.
So 16, isn't it? 16
yes,
Shapiro,
yeah,
both
yeah.
Drupal sites.
Yep.
So poor old Ian's been busy.
He really has
releasing
been busy.
Two websites back to back. Good for him. Anyway,
enough about that. But they're both cool things. So.
I think what gets me, it's not so much the websites and us promoting the websites. It's the clients and the experience. That's the one thing that I love about this job is you get to work with all kinds of completely different kinds of companies. You know, one minute you're dealing with Ally McBeal and the next minute you're dealing with Dad's Army. Sorry, I was trying to think of another stereotype there. And that's brilliant. And that's really good. And you get to enter these little different worlds that exist. And it's fascinating.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Yes.
Should we talk about debate topics? That's going to be quite boring after this, really. I'm not. Just to let you know, I would probably turn off the podcast at this point because I'm not that interested in the debate topics today. They're not really doing it for me.
Make different ones then.
Well, it's too late. It's all scheduled. I announced it last week, if you remember.
Well, yeah, but you announced it the week before and it was the wrong ones. So let's just make something up.
These are just the ones that I've got feedback on. I haven't got feedback on any
right,
others.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess I could make up the feedback too, yeah. Bill from New Jersey says...
Because we've never done that before.
No, we haven't. Not for a long, long time. But I won't say never. Okay, let's move on. So, first debate subject. Yeah, this is an interesting one. Somebody suggested this to me and I can't... Is that a horse? Is the horse has just walked by without an owner?
No, it did have a rider.
Oh, yeah. Because nobody was on its back.
Yeah, there was.
There was nobody on its back.
Yeah, there was.
It was someone leading it.
Oh, right, okay.
But I couldn't see that. All I saw is this horse wandering down. Welcome to wherever the hell we are. I was going to say Dorset.
Luckily, then, this is Hampshire, but only just.
See, we won't have that in Winchester. We won't have horses wandering by the door.
I don't know, you might.
Do you reckon we'll get a lot of noise, traffic noise as well, when we record the podcast?
Well, we're having secondary double glazing fitted.
Oh, are we?
So, yeah, probably not.
No. Oh, okay. I didn't know we were getting
right.
that.
And we're also right up on the second floor, so...
We are. We are right in the...
And also...
Yeah. We're not going to ever get round to these debate things.
The traffic is slowing down some lights outside our window.
Right.
So it's not kind of going up a hill or anything.
Right.
So
Lots of idling traffic.
Yeah. It shouldn't be too bad. Maybe in the summer when it's really hot, we'll want to open the window or something.
But I think our biggest problem will be everybody else, because they'll be closer to the other people we work with will be within earshot.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I suspect they'll think it's the other way around.
Well, yeah, that's what I kind of meant. It's like they're going to get sick of hearing us, aren't they?
Again, yeah, more so than
more
they do
so.
Here.
Okay, so our first debate topic was suggested by someone, but I confess I can't remember who. So that's a good start there.
Bad
well done,
Paul.
And basically, it was looking at the idea of mobile navigation and about how our websites, that when we do a responsive site and we get down small, you end up with that kind of your navigation is kind of crunched down under a single icon, isn't it?
Yes.
Instead of it taking up the whole screen. And someone proposed, well, why don't we do that all the time? Why do we just do that on a mobile site? You know, the reason we do it on a mobile site is to get rid of clutter, to clean up the interface because we've got less space. But actually, don't we want a clean website all the time? Don't we want to focus on the content all of the time? Why are we only doing that when we're talking about, you know, a mobile site? So this house proposes that larger screen sites need to learn from mobile design and hide navigation in order to remove clutter. That was the subject that was being proposed. What's your thoughts, Marcus?
I was thinking about this while you were just talking there. I think I don't agree with that statement blankly.
Right.
Because navigation is useful and hiding it is a bit daft.
But a brilliant, insightful analysis there.
No. But where I'm going with this is being able to hide it is a different thing entirely. Because once you keep going back somewhere, then you don't necessarily, you might always go to the same place. So therefore, you do want to remove clutter. But that making that a user choice, I think I'd agree with.
Yeah, it was
but
interesting.
Not just removing it out of, you know, just having a little tiny icon up in the top left or whatever of a screen.
It was kind of interesting the way the conversation went with it, because to be honest, I think people kind of went down the same route that you've gone with it of saying, well, yeah, I mean, it's quite nice to be able to remove clutter, but... And then they got into this big debate about that little hamburger icon. I don't know why they call it a hamburger icon. The three lines.
The three lines, yeah.
Yeah.
The mystery meat. I haven't heard that term in a long time.
No, exactly. And it is the ultimate mystery meat because it's a hamburger. Well, I suppose it's not a mystery then, is it? It's meat. But then people were starting to say, you kind of suggested this idea of maybe, like you've just said, you know, you can hide it away. And it reminded me of sitepoint.com years and years back, way before all this mobile stuff. And they used to have that where you could slide a sidebar on and off, basically, and just focus down on the content. I always thought that was a really good idea, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a few people. Not many people thought this was a good idea. There was a couple of people... is it? There are unpronounceable names. People just make up names.
Mazurka.
Mazurka suggested that it was nice because it was nice aesthetically because it removed clutter, which I absolutely agree with. And, you know, there was. It's actually someone else suggested that it's something we're already beginning to see. Apparently, Squarespace do it. I haven't actually looked at Squarespace. Let's have a look at their website. See whether.
But they go on to say they don't like the mystery meat hamburger icon. I actually do, because it's becoming...
A standard.
Yeah, a convention. But I think people do understand what it is. But I still don't think when you've got the space, you should hide it by default. That
I mean, the way...
Nuts.
Yeah, I mean, the way Squarespace do it, if you check out Squarespace, actually, it's really quite nice. I really quite like what Squarespace have done. And they've got the hamburger icon, and they have the word menu written by it. Mm-hmm. So you're under no illusions of what's there. And you click it, and the navigation slides in from the side, which I think looks really good. Now, whether you want to have it slid on by default, and then it disappears, or you can click to make it disappear, is up to you. But, you know, I actually, yeah, I can see a value in that. It cleans up the interface, makes it all look very nice.
Depends on the, if you've got, like they've got, a really big call to action and the menu's a bit of an afterthought, I'm guessing. But, you know, it's not, most, I'm again making sweeping statements, but most websites tend to have a navigation that is as important as anything else on the homepage. I made that up. But whereas I think these guys, it's they want people to create their own space, so get started.
The rest
of it is developers, mobile apps, pricing. Pricing's important.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily sure I agree with that. I think it's I mean, take for example, I just picked at random. I happened to have the Chelsea Pensioners site open, mm-hmm. right? And actually, on that site, the main navigation could be hidden away. So you focus on the three central calls to action, which are become a Chelsea pensioner, hire the venue, or how you can help us.
Yep.
So actually, I mean, let's try Dick Steen. See whether it would have worked with Dick Steen. I'm not 100% convinced. Yeah, Dick Steen, I think the menu's more important on that, actually.
Mm.
There isn't a stronger call to action. Yeah, you're right. It's all about how strong a call to action there is, isn't it?
Yeah. Because you could argue that in some cases the navigation actually distracts people away from what you want people to do. The one big thing.
Yeah.
Then in that case, then yeah.
Ah, interesting. That's a very good analysis, Marcus. Almost like you know what you're talking about.
Almost.
Let's have a look what else we got.
I'm looking at the Squarespace.
See, now, I'm looking under my list of agrees and disagrees, because that's how I divide up the comments.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my agrees is referring to a completely different question.
Oh.
And I've pasted it in the wrong place, so that one's useless. So there's very little, very few people actually agree.
Let's move
with
on
this.
To the disagrees.
I think we're going to have to, because apparently there aren't many. No, in fact, this was quite an interesting one. A lot of people did come down. Very few people kind of just agreed with it wholesale. Mm. And I can see why. It's not a wholesale agree thing, is it?
No.
I mean, even when we're saying, you know, well, yes, in these cases it might work. Chris says, as far as desktops, tablet sites are concerned, I see no advantage at all. A well-thought-out menu promotes the most common elements of a business, the elements that are worth presenting in front of someone at every opportunity. So he's basically proposing that actually, and I can see where he's coming from, that the only time that this is useful is if your navigation is not as good as it should be. Because your navigation should be your calls to action, really. You could argue that, which is quite a good argument. Tim says navigation should be just that, a means to navigate the site. Hiding it away completely nullifies its purpose.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, yes and no. As we've just discussed, yeah. It depends on the importance of it.
Because there are different, you know, with your content on the site, there are different scenarios. Some content is more important than others because some content is aimed at a niche audience that may be, you know, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to their content to get in the way of everyone else. I mean, the example I always think about is the approach we took with Wiltshire Farm Foods with their navigation. So they had these different categories of meals, you know, and 80% of their sales came from 20% of the categories. So in the end, we decided to just show the 20% and then the rest were hidden away under an option so that the remainder didn't distract from, you know, from those users that were looking for the majority of stuff. Because that can often be the problem with navigation. You end up with lots of niche things in it.
Mm.
So it kind of gets around that problem, I guess. And then, yeah, I mean, this is a really important point. I agree with this from Alastic. Alastic? How would you say that?
It's Alast, I think.
Alast.
I don't know.
No, we don't know. He says it's similar to the old usability problem with drop-down menus. If you hide options, people won't choose them as they don't get the information sent. And that's something that's straight out of Steve Krug's book.
Mm.
And it's probably a very valid point. And I can't really argue with that. And then Penny says, I get confused myself when I come across a site being cute with its menus. I like the way she words it.
Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of novelty for novelty's sake, isn't it? My clients wouldn't be too happy if their website visitors left because they couldn't find a menu. Understanding your audience trumps design semantics in my book, regardless of platform. Absolutely. You got to think about who your audience is. You know, it's fine if you're aiming at us because we all know what the hamburger icon means.
Mm-hmm.
But does that apply to everyone?
Exactly.
So let's see what other points we got coming up, because some other people kind of threw in some points that I couldn't really define as yes or no. They were just kind of statements. Ben said, for example, testing is the only way to truly understand this, which follows on from Penny.
And absolutely.
You just got to try it and see what happens. Jamie said, has anyone actually tested this? Is there any research on it? And I had a little look around and I couldn't find anything. He suggests that his opinion would be strongly influenced by testing. But he says, apparently the BBC have done some work on this, the BBC radio application. And he says the rough outcomes were that many people didn't understand the three lines icon.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still problems with that, even though it's beginning to emerge as a standard. Many people didn't know how to dismiss the menu once it's loaded. So didn't realize they could click on it again to make it go away, which is an interesting point.
And that's stupid. Joking. Carry on.
See, this kind of attitude that gets me. Customizing the menu was a popular feature, but custom navigation has traditionally performed poorly. So in other words, on the BBC, very few users actually customize navigation options. In other words, they don't want to be able to expand it or contract it.
Oh, well, on the BBC Sport app, you can actually customise the nav.
Oh, what appears and what doesn't.
What appears and what doesn't, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so if you're not interested in any sport, you could hide all the tabs.
Indeed.
Like me.
Yes.
Somebody invited me to watch a football match on Saturday.
Which one?
I don't know. I just wrote back and said I'd prefer to put needles through my eyeballs.
Which one, though? That really does matter.
If England versus somewhere beginning with M, I don't know. I might be making that up. I really didn't pay any attention. Do you want me to get out the email?
Yeah.
What? It's seriously? I'm looking.
I may have to tell you off. This is why.
Oh, I see. You want to be able to tell me off? It was only. It wasn't. It was only on telly.
If you were offered, tickets to go and see Premiership football game,
I'd still say no.
Then that would be worth going once, because it's really quite an amazing atmosphere.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
I'm not in the slightest bit interested. I'd prefer to go to a concert if I want that kind of amazing atmosphere.
Different. It's a different thing.
Yeah, it's full of thugs and idiots. Bigoted Boaz strikes back. Right, yes, anybody that likes football or any kind of sport is a
clever person?
A thug and an idiot.
That'll be me then.
Yes. Well, there you go. Perfectly demonstrated. So, yeah, I thought it was quite interesting, Jamie, talking about BBC and what they do. And then there was a Kate that talked about, from a risk management perspective, the thought of losing support should the community... That's a...
What? You've put the wrong one in there again, haven't you?
Yeah, that's supposed to be the one underneath.
Hopelessly unprofessional. What you need to do is get into more sport.
Would that make me cleverer?
It probably would.
It might wake me up.
Yes.
That is really... I just don't give a toss anymore. That's what it is. It's not incompetence. It's pure laziness. That's what it comes down to. Let's read Sam and hope that his comment is about the right thing. From where I'm typing this into the comments field, onto the boagworld.com website, I'm already at least one button push away from accessing the navigation. You can take the page from mobile without just porting... you can take a page out of mobile, is what you meant to say, without just porting the context-free menu icon straight across. For example, you could have a menu label that's tethered so that, you know, it's always available to you. And I quite like that idea.
Pensioners does that.
It does, doesn't it? Yes, that was one of the things I liked about it. There's a lot of things I like about that site.
Yeah.
Although I am very biased because I'm a fan of Ed's design style. I like Ed. Well, you know, not as a human being, obviously, but just as a designer.
I think you like it because I worked on it.
Were you responsible for any of the visual elements on the site? What did you do? Go on. You say you work on it. I've just written a blog post.
you say you worked on it.
No, I've just written a blog post.
I just swanned around, Paul.
Answering the most common question I get asked, which is, what the hell do you do, Paul? So I'm asking you this question now, Marcus. On this project, other than buttering up the client and going for jollies and eating in Hogwarts, what do you actually do? What did you do on this project to justify a claim to it?
I managed it. No, I did the information architecture and I did the prioritization of content with the client, and I actually wrote a bit of the copy as well.
Oh, which bit did you write?
I can't tell you that.
Why? Because you think I'll pick it apart.
No, I didn't do much. I'm more editing.
So you're responsible for the complicated two levels of navigation that's going on here.
Correct. And also for the main calls to action and the order of them, the order of the menu, all of that stuff.
Okay.
That allowed? Am I allowed a credit for that?
No, the reason I've gone quiet is because I'm looking at it trying to pick holes in it. But I'm actually struggling. It's not too bad. Well done.
It's not too bad. Thanks, Paul.
I don't want to kind of, let's not get carried away. But, you know, you've done a reasonable
job
for an amateur.
Fine. Thank you.
So there we go. That's that subject. I think we managed to draw that out long enough. Should we move on to that? Although, of course, by moving on to the next one, we've covered half the points in this one that I copied and pasted into the wrong place. So you already know what Kate thinks, for example. Okay. I'm trying to energise myself.
Woo!
Yeah, let's be American. Oh, sorry, that was a funny thing. Am I allowed to say this?
What?
Going back to Dick Steen Shapiro, right?
I'm not sure that you are. I don't know. What are you going to say?
They're going to sue us out of existence anyway. So what the hell? No, it's the fact that as a little side thing to this product, they were doing a big launch event, weren't they?
Yes.
Which scares the crap out of me whenever a client does that, because it's not the way to launch a website, in my opinion. But they were doing a big branding relaunch.
Yeah, it wasn't
just the website. Yeah. And one of the things they asked us to do as part of this big thing is to create a video, didn't they?
Yeah, well, I kind of suggested it.
Oh, did you suggest it?
Yeah.
It's all your fault, then. Yeah,
it is my fault.
So Lee was like a pig in shit because he loves doing that kind of thing, doesn't he? So we put together a kinetic typography type video.
I've loved working on that, probably as much as doing the RHC thing. I mean, I wish I'd been able to do more because I wanted to do the music, but I had to do boring project management.
And Lee got to do the music, which he loves
in the end. But you were involved at the start in the in the scripting, which is great.
Great fun!
It's just so nice to be able to just do something that has to work on one machine.
No, absolutely,
it's fantastic because we just don't do that anymore.
And what was so cool is it, you know, something a bit different, and you suddenly discovered like Dan has got this whole skill set we didn't know about. You know, he's really experienced in doing kinetic typography, and so he looked at the script and said, oh yes, you want to do this here and this there, and we were just going whatever. So and then Lee went away and did it, and he did a brilliant job at it, and it was pretty good, and the music was really funky and all the rest of it. But what amused me is it got a standing ovation from the Americans, because they were all going and the other
think
things they were doing, Americans always do that
doing,
in my head they do
they
do
okay.
They all
so
stand up and go
like football supporters probably.
No,
is it a different type of
different
person?
Different.
Okay.
And they, because they do this kind of, what is it, air fist, I don't know, they kind of
I'm just gonna let you hang with that one.
Thank you. So yeah, I just got
it.
Images.
It was the Apple presentation back in the spring. They started off their big presentation with a little video.
Oh yes, link in the show notes to that.
And it was that. I watched that and thought we could do something like this for Dick Steen. And I suggested it, and it just went swimmingly.
Yes, I'm amazed it's only being used for that. I feel like it needs to be online somewhere so the whole world can enjoy it.
Mm. Well, we probably could do something with it.
I ought to put a link in the show notes to Chelsea Pensioners and Dick Steen as well.
Yes,
because I forgot about that. And if I don't say...
Well, I did say them out loud, almost spelt them.
Yes, but if I don't say the word link in the show notes, then when I go through the show notes, and as it is, they're going to be in the wrong place, and I'm going to have to go back through it all. Oh, my life's so difficult.
It is. Should we just
do
this?
Oh, we're supposed to be doing something. Yes. Yeah, sorry. I forgot we were doing the podcast. Right, this house proposes... No introduction, let's just get on with it.
Yeah, do it.
This house proposes that clients should stop paying for licensed proprietary content management solutions and embrace open source. What's the answer to this one, Marcus? Yes or no?
I think this comes down to support, although probably somebody will say differently in the comments. I think... What you get with a licensed system is somebody to shout at, which you don't get necessarily with an open source system. And I think to a lot of people that means an awful lot.
Oh, absolutely! Don't disagree with that at all. But Craig says paid support is available for open source, and he's correct.
Well, I suppose to a certain extent that's true. I mean, we are providing support for the two Drupal sites we've just been discussing, but it's not for stuff that's wrong with Drupal.
Do you know
what I mean?
Yes.
There's a little bit of a difference there, but I suppose we would be supporting fixing something that was wrong with Drupal. So to a certain extent, yeah, forget them. Yeah, Chuck, I agree.
Now, that's interesting.
Get rid of licensed CMSs, full stop.
Let's have a look, because there's a lot of disagrees. But let's look at the agrees first. Open source is a lower barrier to entry, and so broadens and deepens the developer community.
Yep.
Which I think is true. The developer... See, that's the flip side. Yes, maybe you don't get the same level of support and documentation and that kind of stuff, but what you do get... is a massive community of developers.
Yeah, and a massive, endless tools and plugins, which you won't have from a 50-strong person CMS.
Yeah, perhaps. That kind of thing. But there's a kind of middle ground here, see, because that's what my head did, exactly what you just did, right? Mm-hmm.
I was obvious.
I was comparing... No, because I did it too. I was comparing Drupal to...
Sitecore,
right? But actually, there's a kind of middling area, which is Expression Engine.
Yeah.
Which has got a big developer community, is a very popular content management system, but is licensed.
Okay.
So it's not always... There's more of a range here, and I guess that's what the house does not take into account in this. Greg, what's Greg write? Greg writes, due to their often lower user base, they may not... be as rapidly developed, and certainly do not have the same plugin. If they do not have the same plugin architecture, developers will be less likely to extend functionality. WordPress is a prime example of that, an ecosystem that established high quality plugins, an array of high quality plugins, and that is true.
That's
as a general
said,
rule of thumb. Yeah, absolutely. But he said it in posh language. So let's have a look at the disagrees. Right, support.
Do you think they all work for software houses?
No, I don't think they do, actually. I'd like to say that. Let's carry on with Craig, because Craig...
I'm joking, obviously.
Yes.
Yes, Craig.
Because Craig, earlier we said paid-for support is also available in the open source community, so he's kind of defending it against people that were saying that what you said earlier. But generally speaking, he does disagree with the house, because he says, for me, professionally, the question of open versus closed source is largely irrelevant, as it doesn't impact the important questions that need to be asked when selecting a CMS. The bottom line is that proprietary software vendors are still much better at making the budget controller feel good about choosing their product.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that is a really good point.
It goes back to what I was saying.
Yeah.
Someone to shout at.
Exactly.
But it's not only that. Basically, if you're a software house that is trying to sell licenses, then you will have salespeople who are very good at selling it.
Yes.
Whereas, open source systems don't rely on that at all.
No.
That's not what they're about. But that seems like a throwaway comment, but it's not.
What's that bit?
The bit about making the budget controller feel good about their choice. That
no,
is really,
really
important.
Absolutely. It is. It's a massively important thing. I mean, that's equally true selling web design services.
Mm.
You know, a lot of the time it's about making the client feel safe.
Mm.
Which is such a, and that's what Kate, you remember Kate that I accidentally read earlier? That's what she's getting at. She says, from a risk management perspective, which is essentially the same thing.
Oh, Kate, she was further up the page, wasn't she?
Yes, in the wrong section. you know, the thought of losing support should the company waver or fold is not appealing. So she basically, the problem with not company, community. The problem with open source is that developers can be a bit fickle, can't they?
Yeah.
You know, and today Drupal's the big thing, and tomorrow it might be something else, and suddenly Drupal doesn't get the attention it needs.
But that goes both ways, because the company could fold. You know, they could go out
of
business.
That is true as well, yeah. So it does go both ways. And actually, Kate does say that.
Mm.
Let's see what else we've got. Jonathan, at a certain size, the cost question loses traction, right? So in other words, bigger clients don't actually care very much whether open source is free. It's not the cost. Not that cost doesn't matter on larger projects. Just the cost difference between proprietary and open source is less. While opting for open source is progressive in one sense, it is unlikely to represent a noticeable cost saving for a web project of any significant size. Absolutely, because the cost is in implementation rather than actually, you know, in the software itself.
Absolutely. Yes, that's a very good point. And I would say that unless you are a small organisation, cost shouldn't be the reason for going for open source.
And to be honest, nobody really talked for it. He was the only person that really talked about cost at all. I think it was just generally accepted that the reason to go with open source is not a cost issue.
Develop a community.
Yeah.
And plug-in architecture. Definitely.
And that goes back to what Craig was saying, really, that whether it's almost an irrelevant debate, this one, open source versus closed source, because that shouldn't be a deciding factor in selecting a CMS, whether it's open source or proprietary. There are a load of other questions. I actually wrote an article a while ago about selecting a CMS, so I'll put a link in the show notes. And it doesn't really mention cost. It doesn't really mention, open source versus proprietary. Ty says quite an interesting thing, and this goes back to the issue of development costs again, that those are the primary thing rather than the cost of the CMS. He said, I've spent many non-billable hours slogging through horribly designed and coded WordPress extensions. Proprietary CMS applications usually have a smaller but deeper pool of third-party developers. Since the development itself requires investment, I tend to find a higher ratio of professionals developing add-ons and plugins and better support for those goodies. In other words, yes, you get shitloads of plugins on WordPress, but it doesn't mean they're good. There's a lot of dross. There's a lot of rubbish. There's even a lot that contain malware and spyware and that kind of stuff.
Mm,
so you actually, you know, you've got a lot to wade through to find the good stuff. So, you know, it's really quite interesting. It's not a black and white issue. Pierre says he's gone down the completely opposite route and has left WordPress behind, left open source behind. He's actually a fan of open source software, but by moving away from it, it's helped to cut down his costs and be more effective at his job. In addition, he needs a solution that requires little or no support once deployed. And and he doesn't want to be having to give his clients extensive training. He applies something that I think is a valid point, which is another problem with often open source in a lot of cases, although not all, in a lot of cases, that they're developed by developers. So they tend to not be very usable. And so you do have to give people quite a lot of training to get the most out of them. Or you need to put a lot of work reskinning and resorting the admin system in order to be able to get it into a better state. With a commercial product, because they're selling to budget holders, they're selling to normal plebs.
Yep.
I discovered recently where pleb came from. I never realised it was a Roman term.
Really?
For the working man.
Really?
It's true.
Okay. I've learnt something
today. Plebiscites.
Yes, I did know that.
Yes.
Yes.
So anyway, yes. So it's not an insult by calling people.
Sorry, I'm reading jokes now.
I thought you zoned out. I wonder what was going on. See, there's nothing like preparing in advance for the podcast.
Some things never change, Paul.
So, yeah, because you were sitting there doing a lot of nodding and obviously not paying any attention. By the way, nodding is not helpful on a podcast. Yeah. Shut up. Right, yeah, so I think I disagree with the house over that. I could see where the house was coming from. Because I wrote it.
Yes.
Although I have to stress, I don't often, just because I write it doesn't mean I agree with it. Yes. I pick whichever way is easiest to word the question, basically, to be as clear as possible. So I'm rejecting the house on that one. Yep. On the first one, I think I'm also rejecting the house, that I don't think we need to be hiding navigation in order to remove clutter. However,
There's something in both of them, in the right circumstances.
Yes.
It's not.
It
like
depends,
wrong.
Doesn't it? It's
always
really
does, doesn't it?
What it yeah. is all about. So there we go. That's this week's show. What you got, joke wise?
Well, I have to say thank you to so many people who sent me jokes.
Not me.
All of a sudden, I'll just name a few people: Zach Eposito, Jennifer Halloran, Wizard, who I've never know quite who that is, although they've been sending me jokes for years. Eugene, Richard Oster. John Rose.
Richard Oster.
That's what it says here.
I know Richard Oster. Hello, yeah. Richard. I didn't know you listened.
There you go.
He's a blast from the past. When I used to
John Rose, and this from Lyle Barris.
Okay.
Okay, so just a quick one.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the fat alcoholic transvestite? All he wanted to do was eat, drink, and be merry.
That's quite good.
Tis.
Well done.
I've got loads. But still send three more.
Do you want to know what we're covering next week?
Yeah, go on then.
If I got it right.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it really going to be?
No, that's not right. That's not the right ones. Because we've already done one about designers and agile, haven't we?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not like, okay. I'm in control. Here we go. I'm nearly there, people.
It's another one from... I'll do another joke from this list.
Yeah, go on.
Just a reminder to those who stole electrical goods in last year's riots... Year one. Your one-year manufacturer's warranty runs out.
I hate those bloody letters. It's like, I don't care. Okay, no, I'm really excited about next week's. We've got two really good ones, right? Number one, because I think this one is really good because we're going to argue over it.
Okay.
And the next one's really good because I think it's a really interesting subject. This one is, this house proposes... that we should no longer ask clients to sign off design before we build it.
Okay.
So we're going to argue over that one, aren't we?
Yeah, that's just stupid.
I put together a really compelling argument for that. You need to read it. And the second one is, this house proposes that web designers should refuse to do work they consider unethical.
Okay.
And that's kind of, we're going to get into what's more important, to stick by your principles or to deliver what you what the client wants. So I think that's going to be really interesting.
Okay. I won't start talking about
it
now.
It's really hard not to, isn't it? You just got this urge to start talking about it. So I think that's going to be a really good show. I'm really looking forward to that one.
Cool.
And that will take place in our new spangly barn.
It will.
So I'm looking forward to that as well.
On a meeting table that probably won't have been delivered.
When are we recording it? Are we recording it on the Monday or the
Supposedly
Tuesday?
Supposedly on the Tuesday, but... I'm hoping that the meeting table will be delivered for... We're getting a new meeting table. And it was the one thing that had to be ordered in.
Yeah.
And they're saying, should be in. And I said, well, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But then I've just realised we'll struggle to record a podcast.
We'll have to sit on the AstroTurf.
Yes.
Have I told people that we... I don't know why
maybe
I thought that was a good idea.
It's quite sort of funny under your feet. But it's all right.
Is it bristly? Is it hard? Spiky?
Not really. Well, but it's in between.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm not sure this is a good idea. We've carpeted the floor of the meeting room with AstroTurf. I don't know what I was thinking. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
No, I quite like it because basically if you go in there, the majority of the time you're just going to be sat on a chair like this.
Yeah.
So it's all right.
Yeah. It's not like you're going to be sitting on the floor, although we will be.
Yeah, first week
for the podcast. So that'd be really good. I wonder if anyone else is going to be around on Tuesday. Do you reckon we could, is Lee down? Because it would be cool to get Lee on the show.
Yeah.
Let's get Lee on the show.
Yeah.
He'll have an opinion about everything.
Yeah.
And also, it turns much more waffly when he's on the show. Which would be quite remarkable, because I think I've done an excellent job of being particularly waffly today.
You have.
Well done, me. By the way, if you don't like the waffle, which I completely understand, I can
respect
that. Are you
not going to ask people that again?
No, I'm not. I've decided. I was explaining this to someone that I hadn't kind of really... made this point publicly, but is what my thinking has been, that I have now decided the show is for waffle, right? So if you like the waffle on the show, we will be waffly and we will continue to be waffly.
Yes.
However, if you don't like the waffle, or if you've got a short commute,
mm-hmm.
So somebody I was talking to has only got 10 minutes, they never get past the waffle. Ooh,
yeah. well, we do put the breakpoints when the actual story starts. After
yes.
our
but if you've downloaded it onto your iPod, that's, you don't know when those breakpoints are.
True.
So what you can check out instead is boagworld.com/category/tips. And essentially, or pretty much all my blog posts now, I record as one-off, just me going through the blog post. And you can subscribe to those in iTunes, and you can, or whatever your podcatcher of choice is. And they're like, you know, 3 or 4 minutes normally of me talking about a subject. So you can get your web design fix while doing your 10-minute walk to work, without the waffle.
Mm.
So, and we cover all the same kind of things. We talk about the same debate topics. It's all there for you. So check those out if the main show is not of your liking. And to be honest, even if it is, because we cover loads of stuff in those that we don't cover on the proper podcast as well. So
okay.
All good stuff. Right. Talk to you again next week from our Georgian townhouse.
Ooh. Bye.
Bye. The podcast for those involved in designing, developing and running websites on a daily basis. Come on.